The following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We're glad that you can join us today, and we'll try to get caught up on some things that are going on in the news as they relate to the multifamily and single family real estate space. And for those of you that listen to us every week, you understand that we're trying to stay on task. Sometimes it's hard. With discussing why do we invest in these things we call REPs, which are real estate private partnership syndications, and in the face of everything, even this transitory inflation, if I can borrow a phrase from our current leadership, it's a little bit hard to see, or it's a little bit hard to fathom that they were the last to know. And of course, it's not anything to do with the policies and things that they've put in place. It's always somebody else's fault with this crew. And so it's nothing to do with that $6 trillion we flooded the economy with over the last year and a half or so, maybe 2 years to be a bit more accurate. But that doesn't stop them. We're talking about doing even more. We're going to forgive, forgive significant billions of dollars in student loan debt, and I don't know what else. I mean, there's other proposals out there that, in spite of that, we're told that I just heard Mr. Biden yesterday or day before indicate that they had cut the deficit by $1.something trillion, and then if you didn't listen to the whole statement, over the next 10 years, I believe, was the statement. So in the world of Washington, that's a good deed that we cut the deficit over a long period after none of us are still going to be here. None of us will be in office. But don't you worry. We're looking out for you. We're handling that deficit. But in any event, let's see. I've got a few minutes left here before the break. Let's talk about just at the top here of some of these news things I wanted to point out. Number one, single family occupancy is at its highest point in two decades. That's a pretty significant statement. And when you combine that with the push by private equity, and other investors to grab single-family assets. And for those of you that maybe have been trying to buy a home, at least at what we would think of at the Mr. and Ms. Homeowner end of the market, the worker bees amongst us, there's not a whole lot of choices. And I know I think I talked about an article last week, may have been on the Saturday Tax Mass show, that in Bexar County, where my properties are, that's San Antonio area, 46, I believe it was, either 46 or 48% of all single-family closings for the month of May were done by investors. And that wasn't near as many individual types as it was the BlackRocks of the country, Apollo, et cetera, the big private equity funds. That's a pretty telling statistic in terms of what's going on out there. And I've got realtors for clients that have been telling me for a while now that it's really hard to make a living when you've got those groups buying up single-family properties en masse. And I guess that's really – that article was the first thing I've seen in print that pretty much put it at a local level for what's going on, at least in Bexar County. I'm not sure about Houston, although I think I mentioned the new development by Toll Brothers, one of the nation's largest home builders, if not the largest. I lose track of who's in that spot from time to time. But they're building a project up in Spring. And I think last week I said that they would range from half a million upwards of a million. And but I did say, or it was either 500 or 900. Well, it's 900. And so 900,000 to a million, you should find some clear sailing if you're looking to buy a new home in North Houston. And that's crazy when you think about even the average, I believe, and I'm not sure if the average was a median or a mean, or I guess the third one is weighted average, maybe, or maybe it's just average. But in any event, that's an unbelievable number that they make it sound like they've got strong enough demand in that sector to go build, I think it's a 1,000 home development. And they're not the only ones. I saw another announcement this week. I can't remember exactly what part of town it was in, but again, it was a large number of homes that would be going in. Let's see. The article here on the 17th of June as well, so these are all hot off the press, that multifamily NOI, and for those of you that listen to the show, you know that NOI stands for net operating income, which is the bailiwick, if you will, the milestone marker of the multifamily way to analyze most returns, most trends. And you know, it's a critical, what we would call a critical consideration, along with things like cap rates, which I've got another article I've pulled on that topic. And it's interesting that this article took a look at factors and trends from Freddie Mac, one of the loan agencies, national, obviously. They looked at multifamily loans from 2021. So it's not right up to the second, but as slow as this tortoise moves, that might as well be considered current data. It'll be a while before they have any trends developed for 2022. Let's put it that way. But anyway, on a national level, in spite of everything you heard, read, experienced about the factors that were impeding the multifamily space, which haven't been near as many as you might expect, on a national level, NOI has grown approximately 3.5%. A regional analysis, however, shows that NOI growth was centered in the regions that were beneficiaries of consumers who opted for more space during the pandemic. So I guess, you know, the work from home model that so many folks adopted caused the need for upscaling, at least the size of their living quarters, if not maybe the quality. But in any event, the opportunity for stronger profits came from where demand was the hottest. The Sun Belt and the West have dominated the emerging housing markets because that's where many people have been moving, at least as early as 2020. A lot of the big cities lost population, and smaller cities in these venues have done well. And of course, it kind of tag teams with other areas of development, specifically the retail sector, because retail needs people that need places to live to support those establishments. But in any event, Southwest Central, which is probably the predominance of where our clients are invested, logged a 2.74% growth in NOI, and I guess that's so-so in that overall spectrum, constituting the 3.5%. The big winners were Southeast Central, which I have seen a ton of syndications in that market, but they hit 5.73%. That's amazing. South Atlantic was 5.90%, and then Mountain came in at 8.45%. That's an incredible statistic in the face of the headwinds that we were dealing with for most of 2021. And it's probably only gotten worse, which I don't know. Maybe it means these numbers will go up. But in any event, if you look at it on a state-by-state basis, the largest NOI growth, and this doesn't come as a surprise. I know we've got clients that are invested here in Arizona, 11.13% was the growth rate. Utah, 10.47%. I don't see a lot of syndications in Utah. Doesn't mean they're out there. They just don't make their way to my desk to review. South Carolina, which we have reviewed quite a few, 9.75%. New Mexico, again, I haven't seen many of those, 9.41%. Meanwhile, the areas that suffered the most were Washington, D.C., New York, and Massachusetts. I don't think any of those would represent surprises for those of you that are investing in multifamily. Doesn't seem like we've seen, I don't know that I've reviewed any transactions in those areas. In any event, the lesson here, if there is one, that regions that are seeing the higher growth rates of NOI come down to certain specifics, and you have to look at the state level versus the national level to avoid being hoodwinked by an average that doesn't apply evenly. Well, I guess you could say that about pretty much every facet of life, but for whatever reason, the author of this article feels like that's an appropriate statement to this investment class, and who am I to argue? Listen, we're going to take a break for a few minutes. We'll be back here momentarily with more of the Be A Planner's Syndication Mass Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On the Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV.
There wasn't nothing but a heartache in the middle of a bad dream. Like I took on the whole world and I never had a chance, girl. Lord, I tried to be forgiving, but getting by don't mean you're living. And on that highway going nowhere was an exit overdue.
Welcome back to more of the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show. This is the second segment in this week's show, and we had just wrapped up discussion of the NOI trends for certain areas of the country, and I think the Southwest Central is certainly in a decent spot compared to some of the other national or the other cities in the country. It's not the top spot, but it seems like Arizona has been on fire and will continue to be on fire. And as an example, I'll just point to one of my clients, and this is why I want those of you that are listening that don't think you have the resources to invest in this asset class to understand. I have a client who is in Arizona, came to me, probably three and a half years ago, did not have a lot of 401 money, but had enough to get started, and their family decided to roll the 401 at the office, quote unquote, over to a self-directed 401 model, which, as you know, if you listen to the Saturday show, we talked about the 401 in some detail yesterday as to how it can be used to allow you to invest in these transactions without you having to pay tax and interest on converting those funds over, rolling those funds over, and then you pay no tax. I said tax and interest, I'm sorry, tax and penalty. You will avoid tax and penalty if you're able to roll it over. And for those of you that are listening, that are sitting in the great state of Texas, that are married, you can roll your money over. Don't call HR and ask them, or you'll be told, well, you got to quit your job. That's one way you can roll your money over. Or two, you got to get old. You got to turn 59 and a half. Those are two ways. That is a correct statement, but it's not the correct answer. And I would suggest to you that there's another answer that should get more credit than the first two, which is legally, living in the great state of Texas, you and your spouse can make a unilateral decision. You're the only ones that need to be involved, at the outset at least, to repartition your retirement assets from one spouse to the other. And that's done vis-a-vis an agreement that you will execute. It's called a declaratory judgment. It will go to, number one, the pension administrator or plan administrator, I guess you would call that role at the company, and it's probably an outsourced situation if as are most of the plans we work on. And then once they approve the form of that judgment, which we, you know, knowing how to do this, that happens 100% of the time, then it moves to a state court, state district court scenario where the judge will more than likely approve it. Depends on where you're at. I know it's harder sometimes in the larger counties. There's a longer wait. You don't need to worry about that. We've got access to smaller venues where we get quick decisions, the attorney that I use, and you will be amazed at how soon you can be pulling the trigger on investments in these particular assets, the real estate private placement or private partnership syndication market. And so if you want to learn how to access your retirement money, and let's just suggest you want to get off the deferred life plan where you're waiting for something to give you the go-ahead to move towards significant retirement wealth over and above what you may be experiencing right now. And I suspect that if you're in a big company 401 plan, your account balance, if your account balance isn't down, let's assume you had some foresight on what was getting ready to happen in the market. If you back up, to late last year, maybe mid last year, the market is down so significantly since then. Let's assume that you read the tea leaves and you decided to move your money into cash. And I guess you're thinking, well, gee, I've weathered this storm pretty well. Well, relatively speaking, you may have, although I would suggest you've got about 10% less purchasing power, and every month you leave your money in cash, it goes down another click because of the inflation factor. And I understand if you're looking at a deferred life option on when you're going to tap those funds, you probably aren't worried as much. But bottom line is, if you were put in a position where you had to live off of those assets for one of assorted reasons, your purchasing power has gone down regardless of what the monetary value shows on the statement you may be looking at. And this inflation, a period of significant inflation. By the way, I was joking when I said transitory earlier. For those of you that heard this, the current inflationary trend is anything but transitory. They kind of got away with that over a year ago, although most economists, unlike what we were told, most economists really did not believe it was transitory. But that's the line that you'll hear out of the administration. It's like, like the line about how all Americans are better off now, even with their increased credit card debt and other cost of living. We're better off. We just didn't realize it because we're so much closer to being able to afford that $55,000 electric vehicle, because that's going to be your only choice at some point, irrespective of the fact that maybe you don't have the wherewithal, the financial resources to afford a $55,000 car. I believe that's where the average price is, I've read somewhere. And I will admit, I guess I'm closer personally to thinking that an electronic or electric vehicle might work. It's just, there's some problems there. You got to have more charging stations. You also are not doing a whole lot to really diminish the Earth's resources and the cost of energy. It's interesting how we choose to ignore some of the hard cost of putting the electric model in place. And nothing against Mr. Musk, who I kind of like his bravado on the one hand, but it's kind of like the difference between Mac and Apple. I happen to be a Mac fan. Windows. I happen to be a Mac fan, used both forever in my life, last 40 years since I had my first PC, but I've never bought the argument that Apple's simpler than Windows. No, it's different than Windows. Well, that's, I think, the same illustration between fossil fuel and electric. And I'm not saying that one is not different. Yeah, electric is far more cleaner, but I think at the end of the day, you look at the cost of delivery, and we're beginning to realize it can cost as much or more. I guess right now, when you're paying $5 a gallon for gas, electric looks pretty good, but again, there's trade-offs, and I think we all know that. And, the Americans are, overall, we may be slow at times. I know I am. I'm just a caveman accountant at times, and all I know is when the math looks better one way or the other. I can tell you that much. I can't tell you all the details behind transactions, but yeah, I got to see it a lot of times before it resonates. But, boy, once I lock in, I get it. And I think Americans in general are pretty much like me, to where we don't buy what we're being told right now when it comes to our economy, how much better off we are. You look at the effect of the war with Ukraine and Russia, and I'm going to say that you heard it right here. It's been several months ago when I made the statement that at the end of the day, our sanctions will cost us more than they do the Russian people. And it would certainly appear to me that's where we've ended up. And I saw an article today reading through Google News that talked about how Putin has been preparing for these sanctions for 10 years. And that probably explains why there doesn't seem to be an end in sight. And, of course, as long as the U.S. keeps playing softball with the sanctions, where we're not really sanctioning his capacity too much, it's not going to affect his ability to continue on. And if you were serious, you'd cut it off 100%. But to do that, you know, it's a double-barreled gun. It's pointing back at us. And it's a small world we live in these days, and you got to be careful which fights you pick and how you go about executing whatever your options are. We're at the end of the second segment now. Let's go ahead and take another break, short break, and we'll be back for more of the Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. This is the syndication math version, as opposed to the tax math version that comes on Saturdays. In any event, as I was mentioning, if you want to learn how to access your retirement money, double your retirement lifestyles, and work on getting tax-free income for life under several of the options that we can show you in that realm, let's get off the deferred life plan. And you don't have to, you know, do it cold turkey, but we have ways and options where you can target, quote, retirement, whatever that means to you. We think it means when you wake up on Monday morning, being able to decide what do you want to do today, or every morning for that matter. What am I going to do today? You know, I don't need to go to the office, or I don't need to go whatever the equivalent is in your line of work. And for some of you, that may be continuing to go to the office. A lot of people get satisfaction and a certain sense of realization out of productive work. And you shouldn't feel bad about that. And for all the self-made millionaires out there that have the entertainment platforms, or at least that's what I hear at the top of their daily radio shows and at the end, is that, you know, all this talk about your retirement, don't take it too seriously. This is just for entertainment. And I don't agree with that. And I would tell you that we will always endeavor to be entertaining But we take it very seriously when we're talking about when you're going to be able to get off the deferred life plan. And the deferred life plan, just in short, is living for tomorrow, the next vacation, the next purchase, the next promotion. You can call it a treadmill of sorts, the when-then trap. There's a number of terms that describe the deferred life plan. And I will tell you, you may not be able to get off that plan for a while. I'm not going to misstate the obvious. And when I hear folks like Self-Made Millionaire on the leading entertainment platform, if I'm to believe their disclaimers, that would also be the Hotel California investor platform, the one where you can check in, but don't try to check out or you'll be canceled were you to do that. But in any event, when I hear them talk about the old mantra used to be, we'll retire you in 5 years or less. Now he swears they'll retire you in 2.5 years. And yet not one time do they ask, how much money do you have to get started? Or how do you define retirement? And if you dig deeper, you listen to multiple podcasts over the last few months and years, you'll realize that he fully acknowledges Mr. Self-Made Millionaire with the entertainment platform, again, that travel agent-like membership platform that's the biggest platform in America. It's the Pied Piper of real estate investing, I would suggest, where there's a lot of things that happen that aren't really grounded in reality. But, hey, it is entertainment. What can you say? But anyway, you know, unless you understand those metrics, you really shouldn't be telling people you can retire them in 2.5 years or 5 years. And I'm not going to suggest there are not anomalies. There certainly are. I've said it every time I bring this topic up, that there are three types of folks that can retire in 2.5 to 5 years. Those that have over $1 million to get started, which a lot of that class will struggle to swallow on the logic and on the strategies they're being told. Not that they're right or wrong. They do work for some people. Some people being the operative words. So unless you got at least $1 million and you define retirement as something fairly nominal, like $60,000 was Self-Made Millionaire's number. He's let that slip a few times. And I don't even know if that's after tax. I'm going to say it's after tax. It better be, or it's not 60 grand, unless that's how you're underwriting. There's a real estate term for you. How are you underwriting retirement? And if you only need $60,000 a year to retire, well, good for you. But that typically won't put you into the class where you can have much aspirational spending through retirement. And I'm going to tell you right now, you are woefully behind when it comes to long-term health care needs based on the averages in the U.S. And I'll tell you, you will be in a long-term care facility or assisted living facility where the stench of urine, I hate to be that personal, but that's what's going to greet you when you open the door, because that's the only thing that Medicaid will afford to put you in. And that's after you've spent down whatever assets you've acquired throughout you and your spouse's lifetime. It's a sad way to plan for retirement if you're thinking retirement is something you can do in 5 years and you don't have, again, at least $1 million to get started. And I mean get started successfully, pulling or investing in multiple good transactions that will get you 20% or more compounded ROI every year. And then you hope you get far enough down the road before a major long-term health care situation arises, because that's when the amount of money you have, it's not the amount of money you have to pay next week's or next month's bills, which is what the entertainment platforms tend to look at, is, you know, how much money do I need to not have to get a paycheck next month? Well, that's a totally different amount than I'm 65 years old. I've had some type of chronic illness or long-term healthcare need arise, and I need $10,000 a month to be able to stay in a decent or a nice facility. Totally different number. And so you've either got to have the million to get started and define retirement as $60,000 or less after tax each year, or you've got to be an individual that's motivated to actually get out of bed every morning and go run those old Class C apartments that can be upgraded, renovated to be beautiful, and to have a beautiful, here's that term again, NOI, meaning that once you take the beat up 50, 60, 70-year-old property, oh, they're out there, trust me. That's the large majority of the assets that are being deployed in this space, and it's not a bad thing. That's where the money is. And I just saw a Class A transaction yesterday come through that had a equity multiple. And for those of you that have listened to the show before, you understand the definition of equity multiple is, as an example, you put $100,000 into a transaction as your investment. And over the period that you hold the property or the partnership that you're part of holds it, let's say it returns $200,000, so that's a 2.0 equity multiple. Now, that includes the original $100,000. So that means you got a profit of 100%. And while that sounds great, it's wonderful if it happens after 3 years. It's not so wonderful it happens after five or even longer. You know, we see some properties that go out as far as 7 or 8 years. Well, you need to double that. You need 4 to 5 on that equity multiple calculation for that to be what we would call within the bounds of your objectives. And I saw the transaction I was looking at yesterday for one of my clients. It had a 7 or 8 year hold, and it was a Class A asset. Unbelievable to me that the acquisition price was right at $300,000 a unit. And I say it's unbelievable not because that's not what Class A assets are selling for, but that this particular group, the old school travel agent syndication platform involved, and it wasn't Self-Made Millionaires platform, it was another one based in Houston, that had essentially indicated that this transaction was okay for their members to invest in. Well, yeah, it is, if you don't care to you know, if you don't mind making half what you should be looking for, it's a great one. It's a doozy. Go put your money in and then roll the dice. 8 years is a long time away to be counting on a number that's critical as to whether you would even invest in the first place. If you don't see pro forma information that gets you to the 2.0 equity multiple in 3.5 years, my suggestion is you wait for the next train to come in. There will be more short order, rather than you potentially, the only thing worse than losing money in a transaction, which rarely happens, I mean, lose your original investment, is not making anything, where you literally have committed your money for 5, 6, 7, 8 years, and then you get nothing back. And so, in any event, that's to me just a cardinal sin if it's because the syndicator wasn't able to execute. Now, if it's due to lack of market cooperation, all the other things, okay, that's understandable. So in any event, I was struck by two things, the low equity multiple and the cost per unit. And yet I know the Camden REIT and the Hanover companies, new builds in Houston, Texas, they're spending close to $350,000 a door to construct those units. That's just it's amazing that you can still make money in the apartment business by spending that kind of money on your stock or your inventory, and yet that just goes to show how strong the rental market is, at least in Houston, where people, they've got to be paying somewhere in the $3,000 a month, maybe $3,500 a month category, which, you know, there's a lot of people in that pond, a lot of fish swimming around in that pond in Houston Not so much, or probably none, in a market like Corpus Christi or, I don't know, there's assorted other areas in the suburbs we could talk about. And that's all part and parcel. When you're looking at these transactions, you better understand what the submarket consists of and whether the nice glowing statistics that are provided in that private placement memorandum you're analyzing apply to the city of Houston, or does it apply to Pasadena or some other submarket that's got a lot of these syndicated investments in it. Okay, we're already at the point to take our last break. Let's go ahead and take a few minutes here. We'll be back with more of the Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On the Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV.
I'm just longing to be free. Take me where I want to be. Big dreams and faded jeans. And there are many just like me
with big dreams and faded jeans.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of the Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show, and that's one of Dolly's latest. I love the big dream motif, and as I was mentioning earlier, I'm going to circle back to my Arizona client that started with essentially about $140,000 in their 401, so that's well below the $350,000 level, which I show on the baplanner.com site. If you'll scroll down to the bottom on that first page you land on, you will see a 401 math illustration. And the essentially at 20% annual compounded ROI, you will generate, if you use the rule of 72, divide 72 by 20, that will give you 3.6 years. Every 3.6 years, your funds should double. That's your objective. And if you can find transactions that do that, which you can, even though, again, everything we look at is pro forma. I'm not offering transactions. I don't sell transactions. I don't undertake those transactions. I guess offering would be the same, but I just want to be very clear. My role is as a jockey, let's say, that's guiding a horse. And I'm going to analyze math for you. I'm going to tell you where to turn left or right, or at least point you in that direction. But you're going to pick the deals out of the three or four or five you may be looking at. I'll help you understand what you're signing up for. And that's my role. Your role is to get comfortable with the personality involved. That would be the lead partner, sponsor, syndicator, whatever you'd like to call that person. And make sure that when you converse with them before you invest, I hope, you feel like you've got a good idea of their experience. You can learn if they've had some hardship in life, which I've found generally means you'll get a better result because you can assess, well, how did this party act or execute the last time, a major lender like Lehman Brothers went under, or, you know, assorted other issues arose in the economy. How did they react? Did they have success? Did they have defaults? And not necessarily a defaults the end of the world, but it's something we'd like to avoid. That said, you learn more from failures than you do successes in many cases. So at least you want someone that's had some hardship. But in any event, you're going to get all the credit. You can stand in front of the mirror if the transaction goes well. Pat yourself on the back. Excuse me. Do a high five, if you will, you and your spouse. You did great. You get the success. It's not the platform. It's not anything else other than your ability to make a decision based on understanding what you were signing up for. Conversely, if that transaction doesn't do what we all hoped from the pro forma math, you're going to get that credit too, because the information that I help you with, it's all pro forma. And if you wanted actual information, well, guess what? You're not going to be able to get into that transaction because whoever's got it isn't going to be willing to sell you a piece of it up front or effectively retroactively so that you could get those profits. So, again, you know, let's get off the deferred life plan. Let's execute. And if we have to defer a bit of the satisfaction, well, okay, that's another Dolly song. That's that sacrifice that you heard earlier in the show. And by the way, there's a key line in that that song that we don't have the space for on that bump music that says, if you want to drink the water, you got to dig the well. And that is part of the sacrifice. I don't care how often I hear these gurus talk about how much money you can make. They seem to overlook the hard work part. There is some sacrifice. And I've had about as much of the, well, you're not doing it right if you're not able to not sacrifice to get to where you need to be for retirement. Look, that is the norm. The question is, do you have the tools to get there with the hard work? And that's the $50,000 or $100,000 question, to be more realistic, if you were making investments of $100,000 that you want to strive to find, that eventually, just like my client, started with $140,000 three and a half years ago. I was chatting with that family earlier this week, and I asked, well, what's that balance look like now? They were right at the $300,000 mark. They're right on target. These people are studious. They're sticklers for detail, but in a way, they're normal. And all I can suggest to you is you too can learn how to access your retirement money, invest in real estate private partnerships to double your retirement lifestyle, and at some point, once you've got enough money to have a little flexibility, we can move into some strategies that will convert a lot of that money coming later or currently, depending on how you want to strategize, into tax-free income for life. And it's a pretty amazing path and journey to go down. And when you look at what's going on with the federal deficit right now, you look at the fact that the federal deficit cumulatively is not the $30 million that you hear about when politicians get on TV and on the radio, etc. That's bad enough if it were. And by the way, that's about 130+% almost 140% for at least 2021's metrics of the GDP. Now think about that. That's incredible that we are spending more than the GDP, the actual public debt. And that's the part they'll agree to. the 130 to 250, which is all the items that we've said, hey, we want that. We've already passed legislation for it. We're just not funding it yet. All the Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, automatic increases, index to inflation, et cetera. That's what helps make all that up. The interest on the debt, you just go down the list. We're not even talking about that, really. We're talking about a subset, the only developed economy in the world that doesn't report the true liability that's out there. So if you don't think tax brackets are going to go up, and I'll even be so bold as to put a timeline on it, it will happen in the next 6, 7, 8 years, because that's when the money runs out of the rest of the discretionary piece of the budget, which we're already overspending. That's not actually paid for, but that's still something we can control, how it gets spent, or Congress can. That will be gone by the year 2029 or 30, depends on how massive this inflationary period is, how long it goes. And at that point, we'll have a depression, the likes of which this country has never experienced, because we won't have enough money to pay the interest on the debt. Try selling our T-bills when you can't guarantee the payment of the debt servicing. And I think you can understand the proverbial fan that's going to be involved when certain things hit the fan. In any event, that's why you want to start soon. You want to get into this asset space that generates cash flows that can escape tax in the short term and the long term if you choose to convert some of your funds over to the Roth model, which is something that we're working feverishly with our clients on, because they know what's coming. And so you want to get to a point where you've got tax-free income. And what better way to do it than investing in private company investments with real estate, where we get significant discounts on the valuation and the related tax to convert over to tax-free. It's an amazing combination, and you know, generates higher than above average returns. At the same time, it gives us a chance to tackle the oncoming tax train and get you positioned to survive, not just survive, but thrive as you move forward. Go to our website. If you do want to work with us, fill out the intake form there at the link at the top right. Schedule a phone call, and we'll be happy to discuss your specific facts and circumstances with regard to where you might be able to take advantage of this asset space. Enjoyed the show this week. We'll be back next week with more of the Be A Planner Syndication Mash Show. And then, of course, on Saturday, the Be A Planner Tax Mash Show at 5 p.m. Central Time. Look forward to it. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of Be A Planner Show here on AM 700 KSEV.